Good afternoon, everybody. How's everybody doing today? I know it's like one day before the end. It's quite a bit of show, so hopefully you guys are enjoying. My name is Amesh Munsakani, and I am a senior program manager within the office engineering team focused on enterprise deployments, so just known as the enterprise deployment guy at Microsoft. So today we're going to be focusing on leveraging System Center Configuration Manager for deploying and updating Office 365 Pro Plus. So real quick, with a show of hands, how many of you in the audience have deployed Office 365 Pro Plus today in your environment? Very nice. And how many of you guys are considering deploying right now? Okay, very good. Thanks. So today we want to definitely go over giving you guys an idea of what it takes to deploy. And from that point onwards, you know, I'm going to bring up a partner and a customer to kind of talk to you about their experience of deployment throughout their environments. And the way we actually take a look at this is first by kind of really understanding what are the requirements necessary to be able to do that overall deployment. There's that initial set of deployment, what I call first install, where there's a number of steps that are necessary in order to be able to get those bits onto the device. And as you can see through this particular set of timelines, we have to set up things like identity. We have to figure out, configure the overall package, determine what the environment of that package needs to look like, and then finally grab the individual set of bits, distribute it out to your overall network, ensure it's validated against your applications and your overall environment, and finally getting it onto the box and having it run, activated, and used. So there's a number of critical steps that need to happen in order to get that done. There's also another concept which I have is just basically second install, where if you're adding additional set of applications, for example, if I decide to deploy Office without Skype or without OneDrive for Business, but later come back, that's basically going through some of those steps to be able to get to that, to get application on that device. And that's the second install experience. In addition to that, we also have those users who want additional set of language packs or proofing tools to be able to get on that box. That's also part of that overall second install experience. I do apologize for the mic. I know that's a little. Let's see if it's. There we go. Is that a little better? Okay. So, and then beyond that, the actual beauty of the of maintaining and receiving additional set of capabilities within Office 365 Pro Plus is pretty much done through that overall update management process. And that just essentially is a shortened down version where you're downloading the deltas, being able to then do that basic validation within your environment, and then distributing that across your environment before it lands onto that individual individual device or PC. So, and then we want to be, and that's kind of where the sweet spot is, right? Where we're continuously updating and adding those set of bits on that particular set of, on that device itself. Now, if we look at the overall set of options that we have available to go through this, we basically look at three key things. One, when we first introduced Office 365 Pro Plus, we gave you the ability to have those set of source files on a file share or a DFS or a distributed file share solution where you can actually replicate that across your entire environment and then be able to either install or update Office. So that capability was available at that first, when we first introduced Office 365 Pro Plus. Beyond that, we also introduced the capability to receive those updates. In fact, even first install directly from the portal, the Office 365 portal, and be able to install from the internet. So essentially eliminating the necessity of having a local set of file share or that local environment to be able to do either that install or that update management. So the source bits are hosted on our infrastructure at that point. And then finally, we have the one, we have a third scenario, which is around having a distribution management tool. And that allows you to do more complex kind of orchestration I can now target collections of devices within my environment. I also have the ability to get rich reporting that allows me to understand what my environment looks like. So that's kind of the third aspect. And for this particular session, we're really going to be focusing on what that looks like with System Center Configuration Manager. When we first released Office 365 Pro Plus, we really didn't have that option to do that native integration like we've done with previous technologies such as MSI that we have available today, in fact. So what can you really do here? We're focusing a lot on first deployment, first install, some second install kind of scenarios, but then there's that overall orchestration of the updates. And we'll kind of walk through what that looks like. And of course, we want to understand what my environment looks like, so I'm not guessing on how I'm doing my overall deployments, what kind of, you know, how many languages are out there, or what versions are my users on within the environment. And that's some kind of stuff that we want to do. So to be able to do this, what we've introduced as of the technical preview for 1609 is the ability to have this overall centralized dashboard, which we call the Office 365 Client Management Dashboard. And this allows you to have a single location where you can have a quick glance at your overall environment. In addition to that, you can create your overall deployment packages. You can also have automatic deployment rules that allows you to be more hands-off and more and in automated fashion to be able to take down ongoing updates and distribute them within your environment. And then, of course, we have the ability to access overall reports, and we even give you the ability to push out client settings based on what System Center Configuration Manager has available today. So to be able to do your initial deployment, we introduced in the 1609 technical preview the ability to actually take what we've traditionally done with the what we call the Office deployment tool and take the overall set of configuration files and put them into this particular wizard that has majority of the settings that you would typically configure in the XML file. So you can do stuff such as pick the actual product, I could pick the version, actual languages that I want to deploy, and start targeting them to my device, to my individual devices, or just have them advertised within the organization so users can go out there and be able to download and install them onto that. And I'll show you a bit of a demo of what that actually looks like. So let's actually go into that. To wake up my Surface here real quick. But before we get into that, one thing I do want to tell you is what we're really doing here is making the overall workflow and process much, much easier. So you're able to be able to, not have to spend a lot of time focused on the overall configuration of this. So in this example right here, I'm in a version 1609 technical preview, which was released just a couple of days ago. And what you can see here is my overall Office 365 client management dashboard, similar to what Windows 10 has as well. Right above that, I have basically one subnode here. But as you can see, I have the ability to go ahead and look at my collections. I can even just filter beneath that and see what I have. But if I go to all my systems, it gives me a really quick overview of what my environment looks like. Obviously, demo machine here or a demo environment, not many machines, so it would look a lot more, you'll have a lot more data points within your environment, but you can see I have five devices here. I just quickly hover, I see there are, you know, five of the 365 clients, you know, two of them are actually being managed by this device. I could see the version that's available to me. I could even see the languages that are distributed within the environment and kind of the overall count just through that powerful graphic view there. That we have available. And then this concept of channels, how I'm updating or what the frequency of feature updates are being received by each of these clients are really shown here by this pie chart. And you can see all of these particular devices just quickly are on the deferred channel. In addition to that, on the side over here, I have the ability to do that overall install, which we'll go over a second. And then we have a couple other capabilities that allow us to create that ADR. Again, whole concept was to put it in a single place. System Center Configuration Manager, as you all know, is fairly powerful. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to base it on that particular set, that application set, and bring it to just one central location. Now, if I go ahead and click on my O365 installer, we've now taken the familiar wizard base here, and let's go ahead and I'll type in like finance team. And then I'm going to figure out where I want to distribute, where I want to maintain the content. I'm going to go for localhost for this particular demo, and then call 0365 content. The nice thing about this particular feature is if I already have the packages available within that location, it's not going to go out to the CDN and download that. So it's reusing what's already there. And it's especially great if you're downloading a whole bunch of updates, because when you do Office 365 Pro Plus updates, you're actually downloading the entire set of packages into that source location. So you can certainly leverage this as that primary source, so you're not duplicating the effort and being able to deploy that within your environment. The other thing that we have here is the ability to take existing configuration.xml files and import them directly into here. So you're not recreating all of them, you know, if you have 10, 15, 20, however that might be, this is basically a time saver on your end. It'll go ahead, scan it, and import it into the settings. But for this particular demo, we're gonna go ahead and just create a brand new one. And in this case, you can see I have the ability to do a couple of different products here. We have Pro Plus, we have Business, and then we have this classification called None. The None actually allows you to just select the additional Office products below, which are Visio and Project essentially. So for this particular demonstration, we're gonna wanna look at Office 365 Pro Plus. We also have the similar capability of taking out or excluding certain applications. In this case, we have Access. I'm gonna also exclude Publisher. The one thing that we've realized, and through our own telemetry, the majority of failures that we have is basically people writing the XML files. And that's kind of the telemetry that we see, you know. So this actually helps you eliminate that particular set, that problem itself. The other thing we have, like I said here, is we have capabilities to add on Visio and Project. We have three different variants over here. We have the subscription, which is your click to run capability. And then we also have two other new click to run variants, which are all your volume licenses. This allows the situation where if you're running Project and Visio side by side and you acquired it through a different channel, we'll actually give you a click to run equivalent that you can activate with a Mac or via your KMS. This is only for Project and Visio, professional or standard, as you can see the drop-down options. Otherwise, you have the ability to just use the click to basic subscription version if that's what you had purchased. In the next screen, as you can see, now I go into the overall set of client settings where I'm picking things like my architecture. I want to pick the channel I want to be on. So we provide four different channels here. The way I like to always explain that is we truly have two channels, which is your current channel, your deferred channel, and then we have the first release versions of each of those, where you can get them at an earlier stage before you're ready to deploy them in either of those channels. And then the next thing is we can go ahead and select the languages that are available within this environment. I'm looking to make this a little better because the reason around that is we have three different types of languages. We have core languages, which essentially cover close to 100% of, if not 100% of, the individual strings that are within the product. You have partial languages, which is obviously a subset of those, so it's only partially translated. And then we have some actually 11 proofing tools that we do actually provide directly through this, through our Office CDN. And so I want to be able to distinguish that because the thing is, if you're deploying a partial language, you actually need to have a core language prior to being able to do that. And we actually have logic in here that will give you a particular error. The only thing is, it doesn't show you here, which will certainly help improve that. And then on the bottom, we have the capability of picking our overall default language, which we want to be able to show there. And we're doing a lot of work in the overall click-to-run client to be able to help sort that. So you'll see a lot more improvements in the coming months around that. And then finally, we have the ability to choose the actual versions that are available. This will actually be able to go out, ping our service, and download the last 12 months of the versions that are available within each channel, so you can see exactly what you want to be there. But we'll obviously try to default to the most current version for you. And at the bottom here, we have a couple of properties that are available. There's actually a lot more properties if you've worked with the configuration.xml file. We've kind of brought it down to these critical four ones. The other ones are really focused on update management. Now, the fact that you are deploying through System Center Configuration Manager, there's some assumptions that we're already taking. One, that the device will be managed by Configuration Manager, so therefore we're already automatically turning on one of the properties, which is the COM interface. The second thing that we're also doing is we're suppressing all of the update management stuff. It's because you're most likely going to be updating directly from here versus a local file share or manipulating any of the other options that are available under the update node. So we give you these four things, like, again, accept EULA. We have the auto activate, pin icons to the taskbar if you're using Win 7 or 8. Okay. And then we have shared computer activation if you are deploying directly to a VDI solution or a shared desktop. You want to have users be able to log, multiple users logging in to that either virtual or hard environment. So once I have all those things configured, that's pretty much it. You know, what it's doing in the background, it is automatically creating that configuration file in the background for you, so you don't have to be able to manage all of that. And then we go through the basic deployment workflow that you're used to with System Center Configuration Manager, so I can take full advantage of that directly from here. So that's basically how we focus on that first install. Like I mentioned, you can have it just advertised for your users, or you can go ahead and be able to push it out to collections of devices. So now we talked about focusing purely on the initial set of deployments. Now let's kind of switch quickly to talking about the overall update management. Now that I have it on my box, how do I maintain it and get the latest set of features and capabilities out to my users, as well as, of course, security fixes that we want to ensure the product has on a regular basis? And to do that, what we actually do is each time we upload a new build to the Office Content Distribution Network, to the CDN, we actually deploy a concurrent package into the Windows Update services. And that package actually doesn't really contain much other than critical metadata that's really important for the site server to ingest. So what it does at that point, it finds out what is available in the Microsoft Update service. It pulls that down, and it does a quick scan of your environment through the applicability rules that we've defined in that metadata package. Determines which ones this particular package is applicable to, and then we go, okay, we have maybe five devices in the environment that this one is applicable to, and then you can go ahead and start your overall wizard and go through the software workflow engine to be able to start that overall process to get that set of target devices updated. At this point, this kind of changes a little bit for Office, and this is a special workflow that we've created with the Configuration Manager team. It now goes out to the Office CDN to download all of those files. It actually doesn't go back to the Windows Update, right? So if you're just using WSUS as a standalone product, you're going to see those packages, but those packages won't really contain anything except for one file, and that file is called noop.exe. And that file is just put there because we had a requirement by the WSUS team to have a file in there, but it actually does nothing. It's actually a no-op, in fact. So what this, like I said, what this does, it goes out to the Office CDN and downloads all the necessary files based off the metadata that we've put into that overall package. So if you extract it, it'll give you really critical piece of information. I'll show you in just a second. Then after that, once it's downloaded, then of course, based off the workflow that you've kicked off, it's going to distribute it to the individual distribution points, and then finally it's going to instruct your individual devices as to where to receive those updates, and then click the run. The Office client service is going to then go ahead and do its part by looking at that share, seeing if there's a manifest available that will tell it whether how old that its build is compared to the next one, and it'll start pulling down the deltas and running through the update. This again is also a slight change compared to any other update that you're used to with Configuration Manager. And with typically other applications, you would download it to the cache and make sure you have that all there. In this case, we don't want to totally do that, because when we download directly from the Office CDN, we only have full packages. We don't have that, just the deltas. So we want to make sure to be a lot more of a good citizen on the network to be able to just take that delta from that distribution point. So that's what we have available. As you can see, these are the packages that we have, that we advertise. And the way to kind of really decipher this is fairly simple. As I mentioned with the update channels, we basically have the two critical channels, which is the current and deferred, and then you have the first release versions of those. So it's very simple on the two here, what I call production versus the validation type of updates. In addition to that, you can see we basically have the 64 and 32 bits. They're separate. And then we have, we just identify it with the new or the updated version, the version identifier. So 1608, 1609, and so on. The thing to note about the set of packages is when you're downloading it, we're not actually saying Project Visio. We're not saying Pro Plus or Business. We're just saying Office 365 Client Update. And that actually contains all of those particular versions. Because the way we build our Office packages is we use a lot of core set of files, and then we have the unique set of toppings around that, essentially, if you will, that will then determine what flavor of that product you're going to receive. So that's how we build into one small package. You know how large, I mean, you've already seen how large Office 365 Pro Plus can get with a single language, single architecture, 32-bit. Let's say you're pretty much about 800 megabytes plus, 800 megabytes plus 200 for that first language, so about a gig. If we were actually to separate every single product into its individual components and not have the shared, you'd be running into the 20 plus gigs around that point. So it's a fairly high number. So as I mentioned, the WSUS package, if you looked at it by itself, really just contains this one file, more for a requirement that we had, not for anything else. So if you run it, it's signed, secured, based off our own requirements that we have. So once you download that, it's just not going to do anything. So we don't really encourage you doing that. At that point, we also enter the supersedence information, because as we deliver multiple set of packages, you're going to see additional set of information that is that's there. You want to know what's the latest version, right? So we have a whole supersedence chain available in each of these packages that will tell you which is the latest one. And then, of course, the eligibility rules. We have a number of eligibility rules that are important here, four critical ones that we basically talk about. So basically, your device must be listening to Configuration Manager, and this is done by activating the COM interface. You can do this multiple ways. We have a group policy that allows you to do that. We have the Office deployment tool, and then we also have the System Center that will actually set that on for you if you do the initial deployment. So the last thing is we have that set of metadata that once you go through the configuration wizard, we need to determine which set of files to download within your environment and go from there. Now, let me show you what that looks like in the product itself so you can see. What I'm going to be switching over to is a 1606 production environment, production meaning like it's the final set of bits, not our technical preview. Again, it's still a demo environment over here. But essentially, if you're familiar with this, is we have the all software updates where all of my WSUS subscribe packages have been come down. The one thing to note between 1606 and 1609 tech preview, I believe they've installed at this point, if not, they will shortly, is that once we get to 1609 or even further, when we're ready to release that dashboard, all of the updates that you see here will no longer be here. We're actually going to put it down to that updates node. So you saw I had a single node below that. And so it just helps you filter and really focus on the office set of updates. Because right now, if you see how many updates I have here, it says I have greater than, what is this, 100,000 different updates. So it's really difficult to be able to see it. But in this case, I can quickly filter Office 365 client. And then it's going to retrieve just these particular ones. The way I pretty much like to do this is I'll go ahead and do a quick sort by supersedence. So probably the other way around. Let's try that one more time. Nope. So you can see anything in green right here are the most recent ones. Apparently my sort's not working too well here. But essentially, as I discussed earlier, you'll see there's basically six different packages which have things like my deferred channel. This is 1602. 64-bit, and then so on. And we have all the different channels that are available here. So for me to be able to go grab these set of bits, I can easily just right-click on one of these, and I go through the exact same workflow that you're very much used to. The previous experience before this was you would have to deploy it as a standard application or package mode. And depending on the scenarios that you want, you would just basically have to recreate it every single time. Now I have the flexibility of creating these deployment packages directly from the workflow that the configuration manager team has already developed. And so we're leveraging that, as well as we can leverage the automatic deployment rules to be a little bit more hands-off and to have that detection logic built in and then deployed directly to your individual targeted devices. So at this point, if I want to go ahead and just say I want to download this particular one, I can go ahead and create a new download package. I'll call it the, again, finance team here. Pick a local source, which we'll call localhost. Find a good place, let's just say WSUS content. Click on next. Target the distribution point or distribution point groups that I want. Only have one for this particular environment. And then continue on again with the same set of default options that are available to me. At this point, you'd have to determine what kind of languages you want to be able to download. This is a critical part within the overall environment. But how do you know which ones you really want to have, right? Which ones you need to download for your environment? One thing that we've done starting 1606 is we've increased our inventory capabilities that allow you to really see what's in your environment. As you saw already, we've had that dashboard. We actually have another about 12 reports that you can go get from GitHub today, aka.ms/office-scripts. That will be able to give you that kind of detailed information. And then with that, one of them is around languages itself that allow you to say, oh, okay, I have maybe five or six languages with my environment this time that I really need for my users. This is especially important or critical when you are allowing users to go to the Office 365 site, what we call the language accessory pack site, to download their own languages. If you don't do that, or don't allow it, then you have a lot more control over what they have, so you can have more predictability around that set of deployments. So I could pick, you know, several languages here that I want to be able to deploy, click on next, and then continue down through that overall process where it will go out to the Office CDN, download all the bits, and then continue from that point onwards. I won't go through all that entire process, as I'm hopefully familiar with that rest of them. So the last thing is availability roadmap, as you've hopefully known, is we first introduced this capability in Configuration Manager 1602, where we focused purely on the update management. That was the feedback that we received from a lot of customers saying, hey, help me figure out what my overall update process looks like and how to go from that point onwards. Then we introduced other inventory and improvements around 1606. And then now we have the new technical preview for 1609 that focuses on the first install, as well as the Office 365 client management dashboard. And then finally, around that, we're going to be integrating those reports that we currently have in GitHub, so you have those available out of the box. We're looking at adding that overall focus for the second installs, which is I want the additional apps, I want to be able to add new set of languages, so we want to be able to help automate that process a lot better. Or that enable that workflow, if you will, a lot better than we have today. So we're continuing to invest in configuration manager, the partnership that we have between the office team and the configuration management team to be able to deliver that kind of set of rich workflows. Finally, we'll do additional work around peer-to-peer to make that a lot more robust, and then figure out if we want to do some kind of delivery orchestration on how to make that easier. So those are kind of the things that we're really, really looking into to make that happen. So that being said, I kind of want to switch over to kind of a case study, if you will. I want to introduce Yoni Kirsch and Maureen Donders from Australia. Yoni is our managing service provider out of Australia, who is helping out customers, you know, who want to be able to deploy and looking at System Center Configuration Manager or other different types of scenarios. And Maureen is working solutions architect for the Star Entertainment Group, who is, you know, took the advantage of converting from one type of environment, which is just basic updates, the file share base, and moved over to System Center Configuration Manager to help, you know, go through that orchestration. So I don't want to fully talk about everything that they're going to talk about, so I'll pass it on to them to give you a good overview of what they've been doing.
Thanks, Mesh.
Thanks, Mesh.
Thanks for leaving us with at least 2 or 3 minutes to
Go
through this. You know, it was all the way up here from Australia and then, you know, left us with 2 minutes. But at least the food was really good this week, right, everyone? Yeah. Okay. Thanks for the introduction. My name is Yoni Kirsch. I'm from Fast Track Technology. So we're a deployment partner based out of Australia, and we do a lot of work around deploying Office Pro Plus in enterprise environments. You want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, and I'm Ryan Donders. I'm a solution architect for the Star Entertainment Group. And the Star Entertainment Group is an owner and operator of a number of integrated resorts in Australia, which contain casinos, restaurants, hotels, all luxury type stuff. So if you ever find yourself in Australia and you want to have a good time, drop in.
It's a pretty cool spot. I was just going to turn this on because we might end up using it to scribble some stuff on the board. So look, you have a pretty interesting environment there. Why don't you tell everyone a little bit about what's going on, and after that we can discuss the solution that we implemented at the Star, and then maybe I'd like to talk through a few different common deployment scenarios that we see out there in the enterprise space and what recommendations we've made for deploying those.
Yeah, so we've got about 10,000 employees across a number of sites, only three to be honest, it's not too many, but we've got a pretty lean...
sounds better.
We've got a pretty lean IT team. We have one person looking after app deployments, which is not just Office, obviously includes everything else we have as well. And we initially started off with Pro Plus in 2013 and used the CDM method and had that all set up. And it worked, it was okay, but we found that for that one individual person who wasn't used to using that type of system, that turned into quite a bit of overhead that we weren't necessarily looking for. So when this became available...
So this was before Config Manager integration was available?
Correct.
This
was before the Config Manager. We're talking 2 years ago, I guess.
Yeah.
Now we're talking, obviously, Pro Plus 2016. With this Configuration Manager integration, we actually found that it reduces the overhead for that individual so much, and it now has turned into a common process that she is very familiar with, doing every day with doing software deployments.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of really the critical point around the integration between Config Manager and Office Pro Plus comes down to that familiarity and being able to use the same update processes that you use across both Windows, Office, and the rest of the applications in your fleet. And to be honest, that was a little bit of a surprise for me. And I'll try and explain why. Do you want to flick that over onto 8? So, for me at least, there have been a few different scenarios that have come up when talking about Office deployment. The first one's pretty basic, which is to deploy from the CDN. I'm sure you're all familiar with that. Basically, you can allow Office clients to go back out to the internet and download directly from the content delivery network. Pretty straightforward. Most large environments, however, don't want thousands of desktops deploying their builds and their updates directly from the CDN. And so they will do some kind of on-prem deployment. And what that normally looks like is you've got your content delivery network, and you download that to some kind of, say, SMB or HTTP share, as you know, and then it goes from there out to your PCs. We'll fill in the detail later. You get the idea. So that works pretty well in a number of different scenarios, mostly when you have one site or very few sites and very good connectivity between those sites. So the Star would actually be a really good example of that. So you have three sites that your 10,000 users are spread between. Geographically, those sites actually bridge, what, about 500 miles, right?
Yep. Yep.
However, because there's only three sites, they can afford very, very good low latency, high speed connectivity, like multiple gigabit connectivity network environment. So you'd think, hey, look, pushing out some Office updates, maybe a couple of hundred meg to each machine once a month, that's going to be all right to use this method here. So even though you've got three sites coming off there, you've got really good connectivity, so it shouldn't be a big deal. Now take this scenario, for example. You've got some kind of WAN environment and literally hundreds of sites coming off it in every direction, and especially sites that might have really slow WAN links. Anyone in the room have a situation like that? Right? Really? It's like more than half of the room. So we're talking about large WAN environments. And now tell me, so put your hands back up, people who have large WANs with shitty links. Notice how no one put their hands down when I added shitty links. So okay, keep your hands up if you're using Config Manager. Right, now more people put their hands up. So you see what I'm getting at here? There's this really clear correlation between large enterprises with large WAN environments with lots of small sites with shitty links and the use of Config Manager. You probably have DPs out at all of these sites, right? So I'm talking to a room full of people whose organizations have actually invested quite heavily in Config Manager and all the infrastructure that comes with it. So now when I turn around and say, okay, you've got an SMB share, that's where I always expected to see all of the pushback. And of course, I did see pushback there. But the interesting, the thing that I learned, so, hassled a mesh for a while, and eventually, he spoke to the Config Manager team, and they built all of this awesome stuff that he's presented to you today. And I thought, okay, great. The organizations like the Star with good links and good connectivity and very condensed user base, they'll be fine using this method because it's easy. We can set it up in an automated fashion. No one ever has to touch it again. And then, the rest of the guys in the room are going to use this model through Config Manager. But I missed something. And the thing that I missed, apart from being able to spell, the thing that I missed was that even environments that have a lot of users in one site still rely on the processes and the workflow through Config Manager to deploy their updates. So when I said, okay, instead of pushing the updates out every month and checking them and going through the normal workflow, what we're going to do is just set this up so it runs all by itself. And, if something goes wrong, then you can stop it. All of a sudden, people started saying, whoa, 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 whoa. And Moraine was kind of a bit open-minded to it, but his colleagues kind of shut us down pretty quickly and said, no, we want to have the what I call the green button approach, whereas you package up your updates for the month, you do your testing, and you go, all right, that's all good, and you push the green button. Now, with this, you kind of have a red button approach where you set it up, and it's just going to keep deploying every month whatever updates are there until something goes wrong, in which case you can push the red button. Anyway, made sense in my head anyway. What are your thoughts on all of that?
Well, it's definitely reduced our overall admin work around it every month, keeping it up to date. And we're talking hours worth of work now, where it was literally days before. And I find, I'm not saying you can't achieve this doing any other method, but we find we can keep way better control over the versions deployed. I'm sure other people in enterprise experience plugins into Outlook from antivirus products or data leakage protection products or anything like that. Different versions of Outlook don't always sort of play nice, or the other way around probably. The products don't always play nice with the different versions of Outlook, and it becomes difficult sometimes if you have to troubleshoot that. Now, we've had a situation where we said, okay, well, this version of Outlook, this patch level works. We're going to maintain that level now, and we're going to make sure that everyone is on that version, and that made our life a lot easier.
Yeah, and I think that's what it comes down to is, number one is the process and the comfort level with doing these deployments through Config Manager, but number two, if you use this method here, then your ability to control what builds go out onto machines is somewhat limited to what you put in this SMB or HTTP share, right? And so if you're trying to stop a build from going out, that's fairly straightforward. You just don't put it into this production SMB share and it doesn't go out. Of course, that breaks the whole automation concept. But if the builds go out and you need to roll them back, then that becomes more complicated. And so with Config Manager, it's less of a problem. But I think when you're looking to architect your deployment infrastructure for Office Pro Plus, the question you need to ask yourself is, you know, what are the considerations here? How much control do you need to have of what builds are going out? Do you have a lot of add-ins and plugins that you want to be testing? And do you think that you'll find yourself holding versions back for a long period of time? If the answer is yes, then Config Manager is the way to go. And if the answer is no, then I'd recommend you still consider looking at setting up using the on-prem kind of CDN-based method, because that's going to give you the quickest and easiest way of getting those builds out there. Of course, you know, your network infrastructure is going to form a big part of that as well. But look, the takeaway here is that I think it's really exciting that, you know, Amesh and the team have all worked together to build something out now that allows all of us to leverage the significant investments that we've all made in Config Manager and use those to deploy Office Pro Plus rather than having to build something else out from scratch. So look, that's about it that we had to share with you. I think we've got a little bit of time left, do we?
It's about 5 minutes.
About 5 minutes. So look, I think Amesh will come back in a little bit, but in the meantime, if you have any questions for us, then please, you're welcome to ask them. There are some microphones on either side of the room if you have any questions that you wanted to ask. Yes, mate.
Could I just ask a question about first install, where you're removing the incumbent build, so the scrub of existing Office, and what challenges there are if they're older version with mixed bitness? So if you've got 64-bit Visio and 32-bit base build.
So to make sure I have the question right, you were first asking about scrubbing previous versions of Office.
We don't want a client with two versions of Office on it, so we want to uninstall what's there.
And then so the old version being a non-Pro Plus, an MSI build, 2010 or something like that.
Or 2007 or 10 or something.
Yeah, so and then the second part of your question was around mixing the bitness of Visio and Project and the Office suite itself.
Which in the old versions you could do. So you could find there's a 32-bit base and a 64-bit Visio or some mix.
So I'm happy to be corrected on this, but I'm certainly under the impression that you can't do that anymore. But to answer your first question, it's certainly a scenario where people don't want to leave the old build of Office on their computers. So there are some scripts that are available on GitHub. Just search for off scrub, OFF scrub, and you should find a whole series of scripts that will go through and find any previous MSI versions and cleanly remove them from the machine. So that should help with your first part of your question. And then in relation to running mixed versions, you can now run a volume license version of Visio Project, as Amesh said earlier, with a Pro Plus, so like an Office 365 licensed version of the suite. But they do need to be the same bitness.
Okay. Question?
So I'm just still learning Exchange, and we moved to Office 365, but we have Skype on-prem, Link 2013 on-premise. Can you use either of those methods if you're still in a hybrid mode with Office 365?
Yeah, that's fine. So if you've got Office 365 set up and you have your identity set up in Office 365, then that means that you ought to be able to activate copies of Office Pro Plus on people's desktops and laptops. You can certainly use the Office 365 Pro Plus builds to connect to either your hybrid Exchange or Skype for Business infrastructure. So that's no problem at all.
Okay. So my follow-up question to that is what are the risks in trying to keep Office 365 updated while I found that the guy who's supposed to be doing the updates on our Link servers hasn't done them.
Isn't necessarily
updating. So we're like, you know, like
yeah, it certainly can be a challenge when you're trying to manage multiple different versions on a single device. I mean, that's something that we've seen some customers go through, but it certainly becomes a challenge. I mean, you have to work through a proper process where both sets of owners in that group would have to be able to manage accordingly and update it at the same time or similar.
Get the link updated and then do that.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah. Next question.
Regarding a rollback or if I need to roll back to the previous version,
yep.
Didn't touch any about that, how to do this?
I mean, for us, rollback for System Center Configuration Manager isn't as straightforward. I mean, everything for the configuration manager team is roll forward, you don't roll back, right? But with Office 365 Pro Plus, you can certainly do that. You'd have to go look at the Office C2R client.exe and be able to define the version that you want to target, which could be a previous version, the last known good, if you will, and then kind of just do that. And it would do a full file delta to get you back to that level. Have you seen any other kind of scenarios that you've used?
No, that's the way to do it. And you can push that update out through Config Manager just as a
regular package. If you want to target a number of machines, you can certainly do it that way. But typically as we've seen issues occur in environments or that we've been told by customers, there are very few pockets that you would do that with. So even going to Configuration Manager and setting up that package and targeting it might take you longer to troubleshoot or revert that machine.
Well, that's a really good lead on to the one suggestion I was going to make. A lot of my customers, what they've done is they've gone into Config Manager and they've set that package up ready to go. And then they have in their kind of business continuity plan, if they accidentally push a build out that's got a problem with an app or an integration or something, they already have that package there. They simply need to go into that package, amend the version number that they want to roll back to, and then advertise that package out, and it's ready to go. So yeah, pre-staging it might be something that's worth it.
So Maureen, you actually have that in your environment
as
well?
Yeah, absolutely.
How does the update look for the user? Is it like when we use the file share, when we update the new, or send out new updates from Config Manager, is the user experience the same as for the old way of updating Office?
But you're saying, what do the updates look like in the Config Manager side or on the client side?
On the client, for the user.
So the client essentially thinks that it's doing the same thing, because you flick that switch to tell the comm interface to turn on, it's essentially getting its commands on how to update and what to update to from the Config Manager client on the machine. But apart from that, it looks and feels exactly the same as any other client update would.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
So I apologize, I do have to stop for questions, but we'll be here after the actual session so we can talk to you and answer any questions there. Just want to let you know, we do have resources at the Show Floor Expo. They're actually, most of them are here, so you can come and talk to them as well, but they'll be on the show floor, and we're giving away some service from there. Oh.
Okay.
That's it, no more tomorrow? Oh, okay.
But we're all here.
Really? Yeah. Okay, well, these guys are here. So we can certainly do that.
This is the new Office Pro Plus Expo.
Now you have that. All right. Thank you very much, guys. Appreciate your time.
Thanks for your time, guys.